graveyard shift.
I just want to remind
you though that men have 5,000 words a day, women have 20,000 words. I haven't had an opportunity for the last 3 days to use all my words, so I've got a lot of words. Okay, let me scare you all now. But I mean, we've obviously been talking a lot about leadership, about this incredible call, this incredible joy and privilege called leadership. And I think for me, I just wanted to start with leadership is a verb, it's a doing word. It's not a title, but it's a recognition of something that God's already doing in and through us within our local context. And so it's not like, oh, now you're a leader, do X, Y, Z. It's because you've been doing X, Y, Z, you become a leader that others can come in the wake of because you're an example of what leadership or what normal Christian living should be like. Hey? So that's just me waffling as I try and figure out in all the words that I have to say, what's the God thing? I think for me, leadership is an incredibly fulfilling, thrilling, exciting, tiring, exhausting, weighty responsibility and privilege. It's something that I know I was created for, that I couldn't do anything else, even if I tried. In my context, it's leading local churches with my husband over 31 years. Leadership can mean different things for different people, but it's a weighty thing. It's incredibly fulfilling, and it's an incredible trust that God gives us, because leadership is about people. And about taking care of people and about bringing people through into a place of flourishing fruitfulness. And because of that, leadership in any form can be a little stressful, it can be quite busy, it can make your life full, it can be taxing, you can feel a bit stressed out in it sometimes as you carry the weight of things. As a leader, you're trying to work through your own stuff because you're still human and God's got you on a journey as you are working your salvation with fear and trembling. But now he's trusting you with other people to bring them through, and you're carrying their stuff. And often you don't get to truly process some of your own stuff because you're busy helping other people process. And as a result, you can often feel like you're under pressure to perform. You can often feel the expectations of others, and you just can often get to the end of a day and think, I just haven't achieved enough, I haven't helped enough, I haven't supported enough, I haven't done, and you can feel a little bit like you overwhelmed by just this huge weighty responsibility that God has placed on your life. And it can bring struggles, you know, especially if we're doing it outside of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, especially if we're doing it outside of spending time in the presence of the one who called us to that thing. We can actually get worn out, we can become emotionally fatigued, we can get to a place of burnout and depression, which is not the natural way of things in terms of spiritual things. We're often leadership, you struggle with the work-life balance, you struggle with just feelings of inadequacy, because you just, if only I had a little bit more time, I could have actually helped them with that, and that would have meant this. And so you can sometimes live in that space where you feel inadequate, or you haven't done enough to support that person, and all of that can catch up with us eventually. And so for me, we're ending with this, and possibly for me, it's the actual starting place of leadership. It's vitally important that if we're going to lead other people in whatever form in life and in church, that we actually learn first to lead ourselves and to do some good self-care of ourselves, so that we are a prototype, a good example that others can follow. And we can help. We're not being hypocrites. We tell folk, do X, Y, Z, because that will help you with A, B, C. And yet we're not doing it. And things fall apart in our lives. So for me, I just wanted to focus a little bit around that area of self-care. Because I'm personally tired of seeing incredible men and women of God in whatever form of leadership in the life of a church burn out, or see their marriages implode and families break up, or see incredibly good men and women with such calling and destiny, see them shipwrecked, and to see them get involved in extramarital affairs with whoever. In 31 years of ministry, and I'm not saying this from a place of judgment. Please don't hear judgment here. You can ask my husband afterwards. I'm very imperfect. But I grieve every time I see a marriage implode in a leadership context, or every time I see a church explode and end up closing down, or something happening that shouldn't have happened if people had just done some really good self-care and good self-leadership over a long period of time. And so self-care can make people immediately think it's like psychology and it's psychobabble, and maybe it's just selfish and it's flesh. But actually, if we don't take care of ourselves, and if we don't self-regulate well, we can't help others do that.
Right.
And so it's incredibly important. Self-care, one definition I've read said, is the practice of individuals looking after their own health and well-being using the knowledge and information available to them. So for me, it's a decision-making process that empowers us to look after our total well-being and our whole health efficiently and confidently. Because we're not just spirit beings. Yes, we've been made alive in Christ, and He lives within us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He's living in and through us. But the reality is we have a physical body, a jar of clay that is fallible. We have emotional and mental needs and relational needs and all kinds of other aspects to us. We're not just spiritual beings. So self-leadership 101 is actually starting at leading self, self-regulating and practicing good self-care. And so I just wanted to mention four things. As Christians, and certainly as leaders, we need to remember that God has called us to be good stewards of all He has made. And that actually includes ourselves as well. He created us in His image. He's given us mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, relational health capabilities that we actually need to steward well. And that includes our marriages, any relationships like parents, children, extended family relationships, finances, spiritual needs, whatever that might be. We need to steward all of that really well. Good. So that when we do stand before the One who made us in His glorious image, that we're able to hear those wonderful words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so 1 Corinthians 4:11 affirms that truth, that we've been given a trust, one life to live for Him, and let's prove faithful with it. We're not going to get another opportunity to live this life. We've been given X amount of years, let's live this life the way He wants to, and in a responsible way. Okay. Secondly, a happy, healthy, well-balanced you is the best gift you can give to your spouse, to your children, and to your church, whatever level of responsibility you have in that local church. You and I are way more effective and way more healthy or productive when we're healthy in body, mind, soul, and spirit. Again, because we're not just one dimension. We're made up of many facets. Thirdly, the Bible tells us very clearly that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Don't you realize that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which lives in you and was given to you by God?" Which means your body matters just as much as your spiritual body matters, your spiritual man matters. So emotions matter, your mind matters, relationships matter, because you're not just a spirit being. And fourthly, we need to remember we're not our own. You and I were bought with an incredible price, a great sacrifice on behalf of Christ. And therefore, we need to be diligent and intentional and committed to our health and well-being as a Christian and as a leader, whether that's the leader of our home, a leader in business, a leader within the life of the local church. Because 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You do not belong to yourself. for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor with your body. And I've discovered, as Mark has over the years, people don't like that word must, but actually it's in scripture. You must honor God with your body. So I've had a little bit of 8.5 years in New Zealand, and I've learned a few things around well-being and health. And most of you would have heard something around Te Whare Tapawha, the house of four walls. It's getting a huge resurgence in New Zealand. And the incredible thing is you can actually see that pattern or that model in scripture. It's an amazing thing. So when my boys were little, I used to tell them a story of the three little pigs. Did any of you hear the story? Mark didn't have a childhood, so he never heard any child stories, apparently, because he never heard about the three little pigs. But you know, the three little pigs grew up in a home with their mum, and one day they grew up, and they got to a point and they decided they needed to leave home. So they left home and together traveled along. And then the one saw a man with a pile of straw, and he asked the man for the straw so he could build himself a house on his journey of life. And he built his house, his brothers helped him, and he waved them goodbye as the sun was setting, and the two little brothers carried on hopping along, skipping. We're not afraid of the big bad wolf, whatever it was, as they walked through life. They came across another man with a bunch of sticks. And the second little brother said, could I please have some sticks, sir, so I can build myself a house of sticks? And the man said, sure. Very kind man. Obviously wasn't a charge or anything. He got his sticks and he built his house and waved his brother goodbye. And off went the third little pig. And the third little pig came along a man who had bricks. And he asked, please, sir, could I have a few of your bricks so I can build myself a house? And the man said, sure, yes, a pile of bricks, build yourself a house. And I think the man was really kind. He also helped him build his house so that before darkness fell, his house would be built, because there was a big, bad, evil wolf out there threatening to kill every little pig he saw. And one day, the wicked wolf came along, and he came across this house of straw, and he said, I'm going to huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down, so let me in, by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the little pig said, no, because his mother taught him a really good lesson. You never let strangers into the house, children. You never trust strangers, and you certainly don't trust the wolf, because he's got very sharp teeth. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. I love telling stories. So the wolf blew the house down, and the little pig fortunately got away, and he ran, and he found his brother's house of sticks and ran into the house, and they were shivering inside because they were afraid of the big bad wolf. And the story goes on and blows down that house. Those two little pigs fortunately escaped and went and found their brother, whose house was built with bricks, and in they went into the house, and the wolf came, and he huffed and he puffed, and oh my goodness, he couldn't blow this house down because this little pig had built with the right materials. And he had put in a really good foundation. And that's how the story goes. The wolf comes down the chimney, falls into the pot of stew, and dies. And they don't have to worry about this evil wolf anymore. So the moral of that story is that we need to be careful with how we build our lives, what we build our lives on, how we take care of ourselves, how we self-care, how we self-regulate, and how we self-lead. Because if we don't build correctly, a big bad wolf might come along and blow our house down, or something will happen in life and everything falls down. It can't stand. And so Luke 14:28-30 says, if you want to build a building, you must first sit down and decide how much it would cost. You must see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't do that, you might begin the work, but you won't be able to finish. And if you could not finish it, everyone would laugh at you. They would say, this man began to build, but he was not able to finish. And so that scripture is talking about the need for us to assess, to see what is needed to complete a task, and make sure what we're completing is suitable for that task and function. It's really talking about responsibility, taking responsibility for our stuff and making sure we're building well, that we're building healthy, that we're making good choices and decisions as Christians. And I'm not talking as a person who's always got it right. I've had postnatal depression. Mark's had cancer. We've had a number of things that have happened in our lives that have threatened to cause our house to fall down. So we don't talk from a place of perfection. But I think after 31 years of marriage and ministry, we're starting to get some things right. And we're learning the importance of building the right way, because it's essential. So with this the house of four walls, there's definitely a need for a foundation. And I think I wanted to just remind us as leaders that we never forget that the foundation is not what we're doing for the Lord. The foundation is who we are in the Lord. Our value has to be in whose we are and not in what we do. If that foundation isn't right, no matter what you build, it's going to wobble, it's going to fall, and what you build will fall down. And one day, you may not, like Mark got cancer, and for a year couldn't lead anything, couldn't do anything. He was fighting for his life. And as he discovered, you can't have your worth and your value in your title or your role or your function or what you do. Because when that's gone, who are you? You're a son or you're a daughter of the King of Kings. That's your value. That's your worth. And that's what you build from. And so I just wanted to say all of that. The reality of leadership is it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's any form of leadership in any capacity in the world or in the church requires a lot of effort, a lot of time, and takes a lot from you. And you're forever administrating or managing or delegating or advising or counseling or praying or preparing or doing a variety of different things, scheduling meetings, mentoring, teaching, training, equipping, whatever it is. It goes on and on and on. If you're in ministry, you're conflict resoluting and you're doing a whole bunch of things as the household of God's got to work their stuff out, because, you know, brothers and sisters fight. I don't know if that was like that in your household, but it does happen, and you've got to learn how to work those things through. And that can actually affect you. It can take its toll upon you. But Proverbs 24:3 says, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. And good sense, according to one dictionary I looked at, is the quality someone has when they're able to make the sensible decision about what to do. It's the ability to make right decisions. And so, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your role or responsibility is, no matter what your so-called title is, the reality is we need to make good decisions and have our foundation right, and then be building a house that houses God and does not fall down.
Good.
All right. Heading past all of that. Did you know, according to Tefatu Ora's community website page, 48% of New Zealanders have mental health issues. It's a big percentage. 77% of New Zealanders know someone very closely who's been impacted or affected in a mental health way. And that's huge. That means if you look around this room, a few of us are part of that stat. And so we can't just be approaching life as we're children of God, we're victorious ones, we're not the head, we're the tail, and be declaring all kinds of things.
Other way around.
Yeah, sorry. And act, what did I say?
We're not the head, we're the tail.
I mean, we're not the tail, we're the head. You know, everywhere my feet will tread, God will give me. And it's great to have faith and to declare things, but if we're not partnering with God and taking care of ourselves on every level, things are going to fail and fall down. Anybody who's had burnout or depression will tell you they couldn't say no. They kept on taking responsibilities that weren't given to them by God. They just were so responsible about everything. They ran at a frenetic pace and tried to rescue everyone, carried the emotional responsibility of everyone else, and tried to keep everybody happy. And the price they paid was their own mental and emotional well-being and health, as well as their physical and relational health. And the answer isn't that we do less. The answer is that we have good sense and we hear what God is calling us to do, and we do what God has called us to do, and no more, no less. A friend of ours back in South Africa led a church and very successfully grew the church, but he ended up burning out. And he said that He sacrificed himself and his family on the altar of busyness daily. And he didn't allow enough buffers or boundaries in his daily living to allow him space for reflection, connection with the Father. He didn't allow himself space to just sit in the presence of God. Every time he opened his Bible, it wasn't for him, it was for others. Every time he did open the Bible, it was to prepare a word, it was to find something to encourage somebody, and he sacrificed a number of things on that level. All in the name of leading God's people. And so he got caught up with people's expectations and didn't prioritize the right things. And I know that we've been told many, many times by Leon Fundal, thank you. I knew there was a doll there, I forgot the fun. And the Fundal, Leon Fundal, who Pat and Leon are in the 80s, they're amazing. They've stood the test, they've run their race so incredibly well, been faithful to the call of God on every level of their lives. And they always said, buffers and boundaries, buffers and boundaries, buffers and boundaries. So I'm going to shift past all of that. I'm just so aware that we've had a lot said. So I want to just move. Mark actually mentioned a scripture. Mark, was it Mark 12 you brought up? Or, yeah, it was. And verse 30 and 31, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And you actually see very clearly Tefare Tapafar, the house of four walls there. The first wall that we should be building in terms of self-care and self-leadership in our lives is our emotional and mental health wall in the house. And that's, the scripture speaks of that as heart, mind, and soul. It's essential to the health and well-being of every person because you've been created body, mind, soul, and spirit. And so you aren't just a spiritual being. Your soul and your mind is really important. And there's a constant battle in our minds, a spiritual battle going on in our minds. And particularly over the nation of New Zealand, the battle for mental health is huge. You affect people's mental health, you affect destiny. You affect people's mental health, you interrupt where they could actually go and what they could actually achieve. And so it's really important. So I want to ask you, how vulnerable and open and honest are you with someone else? How often do you actually sit down and do an assessment with someone and let them know how you're doing mentally and emotionally? What are some of the struggles? Who are you accountable to in that? Who do you have navigating life alongside you? And who are you navigating alongside in the life of your life? We often, as leaders, allow others the privilege of processing stuff, but we don't process our stuff in the name of busyness and helping others. But actually, I think that's just because we want to ignore our stuff. Don't ignore your stuff. Deal with your stuff mentally and emotionally. Because if you don't, it will come back and will bite you. It will cause a house to fall down if just one brick in that wall is not sturdy and strong. And so I encourage you to find someone other than your spouse if you're married, or your best friend if you've got a best friend. Find someone who will challenge you, who will ask the hard questions, who will listen, who will discern what some of the issues are from a mental and emotional struggle that you're going through, so that you can actually process your stuff well. Let your mask drop away. Don't hide things, because what's in darkness, the enemy uses to bring destruction.
True.
What I've loved about this season of our lives in leading the church in Hamilton is that each of our elders go to supervision once a month. An amazing, wonderful thing to do. Doesn't matter what your role or function is in the life of the church, it's important that there's a safe, non-judgmental space for you to talk about emotional, mental stuff so that the enemy doesn't rip the carpet from underneath you and cause the house to fall down. Actually, is biblical. Titus 2. It's a kind of mentoring, a kind of kind of coming alongside older men teaching younger men, older women teaching younger women, and that can be in age or in maturity. It's biblical. There are many times along my journey with postnatal depression, which ended up lasting 10 years and becoming quite psychotic. I wanted to take my life and my child's life because I was afraid if I talked to someone and I told them the struggle I was going through, I'd jeopardize my husband's future. It was a lie from the enemy just to keep me isolated and to keep me locked in darkness. Don't fall into that trap. Good. Be vulnerable. Right. Risk with someone and talk about the hard stuff. The second wall that we need to focus on when we're building a house is, and that it needs to be really sturdy, and the one I'm choosing to speak about is our physical health. Often something we overlook, because Mark referenced that we're running a race, and that there's training and there's things that we have to do. But we often just equate that to spiritual things, and we forget that this is a physical, limited body that we actually need to take care of, that we've got X amount of time on planet Earth. We actually want to maximize that time. We want to make sure we finish our race well and we're not prematurely taken out of the race because we're not looking after our physical health. In our pursuit of the call of God, whatever that looks like for you in your life. And so, are you taking care of your body? Are you making sure to exercise, to rest well, to eat well, to sleep well? Are you prioritizing holidays? Are you getting away, having a long weekend? And I just want to interject there. Make sure you're taking care of this couple in that. Because nobody else is going to if you don't. And they are highly responsible people. And they have a deep love for God's people. And so they will always put God's people ahead of their own family and their own needs. Make sure these people are taking care of themselves, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Are you praying for them? Are you ensuring that they have enough money to go away? Are you ensuring they're getting regular holidays? Are you ensuring that they're able to have R&R and time out and downtime, that they have people they can talk to? Keep them accountable to that as well, because they live in a fallible human fallen body and their body could give up. All in the name of the noble call to ministry and to serving you beautiful people, don't let it be at the cost of their own health or mental or emotional well-being.
Good. Good.
Do you have date nights if you're married? If you don't, get it going. Invest in your marriage. Your husband or your wife qualify or disqualify you from the call of God, whatever that looks like in your call in God. And so that physical thing is also linked to the one that's walking alongside you if you're married. A lot of people, because we're not looking after our physical health, will experience many symptoms and many unnamed issues in their health. And it all boils down to actually not looking after their physical body. And so bad health will interrupt your life and may even jeopardize your life and prevent you from fulfilling God's call and God's destiny for your life. So make the necessary adjustments if you need to do that. Start somewhere, you know. If there's 100 things to do, put one thing that you're going to change in the next month to bring adjustment and to take care that you're building that physical body, that physical wall in your house, that you're building it well. Yeah. And then thirdly, the third wall to build correctly would be our family or our relational/social health. And the scripture there talks about loving others and loving ourselves. So again, for me there, what does your marriage look like? Because it qualifies or disqualifies you in the call of God. How's your relationship with your children? Work hard on those things. Do you have friends? One of the hardest things in ministry is finding friendships. And friendship's incredible because it refreshes you, it energizes you. I hope you're friends with your spouse, but you need more friends than just your spouse.
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage you to build that that family or relational health, that social health. Be friends to one another. Be that a brother and sister that encourages and builds one another up, that refreshes one another. We all need friendship. Nurture that and prioritize that. Build that wall. Do you have fun? Have you forgotten how to laugh? Learn to laugh again. Learn to have fun again. It's important that we enjoy this life that God has given us, whether it be 70, 80, 100 years on planet Earth. Let's have fun and enjoy what God is calling us to. How do you resolve conflict? Is that an area that you just keep ignoring and covering up and hoping that the lump under the carpet will just go away? Let me tell you, the devil has got an amazing way of digging up old bones and bringing destruction to relationships, friendships, and marriages. So constantly work on that wall. Are you a person that keeps a record of wrongs, who can't forgive easily? Process that with the Lord, because that can cause huge relational problems in that wall. I think good relational health provides good community and support around you. Relational health enhances your self-esteem. It brings happiness, contentedness, and your physical health flourishes because of relational health.
Good.
And so it lowers things like cardiovascular risks. It lowers blood pressure. It's important to how you're building that wall. And then the last wall we need to be building is our spiritual health. It's the love the Lord your God part of that scripture I read. This is about your faith and your belief system that needs to be cemented in the belief of Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. And that is your place of standing. The Maori call it the taranawawa, your place of standing. That's your life force. That's where all your strength, that's where you come from. And keep that relationship really strong with the Lord, because he sustains what he's created. He energizes, he invests in, but he's not going to force that. As human beings, we were created, we are created beings that do have limits, that do have a need for Christ in us working powerfully through us with his energy and his strength. Which means we actually need to be prioritizing our relationship with God. And so often, depending on the season of life we're in and how that's outworking, we can sometimes not prioritize our relationship with God, or we're going to God on behalf of others, or we're going to God with just needs, and we're not actually working at developing that love relationship with him. And I want to really encourage us to invest time, intimate time, and just spending time with Jesus, not anything else, but enjoying his love and just saturating yourself in his presence. Because it's then that we operate as leaders on any level out of the overflow of that. And it's then it's his energy at work in and through us. And it's not so much our sweat and blood being worked out. And so we really need to be concentrating on building that friendship first and foremost with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how are your devotional times or quiet times or whatever you call them, your loud times? How's your Bible reading, your Bible study? Are they happening without agenda? Just, I want to be with you, Dad. Are you modeling a love for God, respect for his will and his ways so that others see it and want to follow? How's your obedience? Are you wholeheartedly obeying God, or half-heartedly, or just doing enough? How you build your house is incredibly important for the longevity of what God has called us to.
That's good.
So my final thought is this, and I really want to encourage you. Mark and I embarked on 3 years ago. Every decade we look at our physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, relational walls, and we make adjustments. And one of the weaknesses for us in the past decade was our physical health. And it was shown by him getting cancer, me getting start of cancer, I died on an operating table, all kinds of things. And we realize actually, in order for the race that God has laid before us to actually be fulfilled in all its fullness, we're going to need to make some adjustments. So we embarked on a health plan. And I want to leave that thought with you. Because every house that is built in the natural, an architect has drawn up a plan. And there's designs in that there's design in that detailed plan. And they liaise with construction professionals about the feasibility of the plan that they're coming up with. They do costings, they ensure the building stays within budget, they investigate the emotion of the environmental impact that the building might have so that everything fits into town planning legislation. They do site visits to assess that everything is going according to that plan and that the project deadlines are met. Might I suggest to you that you and I are architects of our own well-being and health, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. And we need to have an intentional plan that we have somewhere visible that holds us accountable to how we're building our house and how each one of those walls are going in our lives. It keeps you on target, it keeps you flourishing, and it keeps you healthy. And so I'd really encourage you to do that. Life has many unexpected twists and turns, but a plan helps you remain an active participant with God in your life, your relationships, your families, your mental and emotional health, your spiritual well-being. You want to finish your race strong. I know I do. And I want to bring God glory in finishing my race strong so that one day I can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you X amount of time on earth, and you have facilitated everything I gave you, your health, mental, emotion, all those four walls, and you've done what I called you to do. You've finished your race. You didn't just crawl over the line, thank God you're here, Jesus, but you actually did what I called you to do, and you did it in my strength. And I'm so well pleased with you." And so I'm going to leave it at that. There was lots I cut out, but I think I needed to. Thank you.
Such vital input for us to keep in mind, and so often we allow the enemy to drive us. He sees our passion for the Lord, and he drives us, and he either tries to demotivate us or he tries to push us too hard, like this ditch or that ditch. And it's so wonderful to have the Lord just to take our hand and walk right down the middle. A total sold out compassion to Jesus. But obedience to Him and obeying His will rather than all the demands and the needs and the things that can be pressed upon us. Guys, thank you so much for your deposit over this weekend. There's been some really, really excellent stuff. And I just want to finish by praying for you guys and praying for the seed that God has deposited in this local church soil. But thank you so much. It's been fantastic. Lord, we want to thank you for this time. And over the past 2 days, all the seed that's been sown into the soil of our hearts and even as a local church community. And I really pray, Lord God, that that seed is going to produce good fruit. Thank you for the words of encouragement, the prophetic pictures and encouragement that we receive for that which you are doing for us. Lord, you contending and for this local church and for our inheritance. And we want to get behind you, Lord, and lay hold of that for which you have laid a hold us for, Lord. And you've laid hold of it for us, the scripture says, but we also have to take it. So we're going to push in, and we want to lay hold of all that you've given us, Lord. So please give us fruitful hearts that we can live in all the fullness of it. But I also really want to pray for Mark and Colette, and thank you, Lord, for them coming down here, giving up this time. And the time that they've spent waiting on you, the deposit that they've left, Lord, would you bless them? Would you multiply that, Lord? Bless the village church for releasing them, and Lord, all the support and help that they give us. And I pray that you're going to use Mark and Colette mightily, Lord God. Future trips to Indo, wherever else you might call them to go and be an encouragement, whichever other churches, Lord, let their translocal anointing and be profound and powerful, and also as they lead the village church. So bless them, especially in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. God bless.